Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Ayin Hey. We're in Ayin Dalam Adbeis. We're starting with the word starting Rabbanan. Five lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're about to start a brisa. We're in Psula Yuchsin. Here in the fourth parak of the Masechta, the final week. Yeah. Next Friday, we're Messiah. Final week of the Masechta here. And the topic has been, it really started at the end of the third parak, but the entirety of the fourth parak, and that is Psula Yuchsin. Who can you marry? Who can you not marry? So over the course of this parak, we've covered all the different categorizations, the classifications of Jewish people. We started with the Kohen, then we went to Levi, then we went to Yisrael, and there's seven other categories after that. And so who could marry whom? So the answer is, you got to see the Mishnayos, you got to see the Gemara. And then, of course, you have to see the Shulchan Aruch. So it's intricate, it's complicated, and it's extraordinarily sensitive. It's delicate. Right, people's feelings for sure are going to get hurt. We've already seen numerous stories over the course of this parak, where we've seen that it's not easy. It's not an easy topic, both in just in terms of the amount of information and the human aspect of it as well. Notwithstanding, here we go. Before we start with the braces, so what happened yesterday and yesterday's daf? Ayin Dalam and Aleph. So kolar sum lavo bekal matorm lavo zebezeh. So the Mishnah gave us a rule. Now, principally, the rule that we learned in this Mishnah is almost identical to the rule that we learned in the opening Mishnah of our Perek. And what the Gemara struggled with yesterday was a struggle. The Gemara took an entire Amud. And that is that what new point did we learn in this Mishnah that we didn't learn in the previous Mishnah, Kolasrim Lavo Bakal? Meaning, presumably, our Mishnah are talking about Mamzerim, Shisuki, Asufi, right? All the categories that we described previously. And what are they allowed to do? They're allowed to marry one another. And, of course, we knew that, meaning that's what we established in the first Mishnah. And so, I'm not going to go through the entirety of yesterday's daf, but from the Mishnah until we got to the point we got to yesterday, the Gemara really tried to wrap its head around what did we learn new from this Mishnah. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. But with that said, that's now in the rearview mirror, and we are going to start with a brisa. Ben Teisha Shana B'Yom Echad, Geramoni, Moavi, Mitzri, Adami, Kusi, Nisin, Chalal, Mamzer. Okay, so you have a young man, right, over 9 years of age. We know we did this in Yavamos time and again, and here in Kedushim we're going to say it again, and that is that obviously he's not a baronchin, he's not a bar mitzvah, he's not chayv in mitzvahs as of yet, but physically mature enough so that his bia is considered a bia. In other words, the act is considered an act of bia, so that when the woman has relations with him, it qualifies now legally as an act of bia, and therefore. Now keep in mind, who are we talking about? We're talking about basically the psule kahal, the gerim of Amoni Moavi, Mitzri Adomi. In other words, these are all people that the Kohen Yisrael Levi are not allowed to marry. Adomi Kusi Nesin Chala Mamzer. Okay, I'm assuming at this point in the parak, we know what all those definitions are. I'm not going to go through any one of them. So, and Bawa Al Kohanis Valavi of Abbas Yisrael. Paslua. So if they have relations with a bas, basically a non-psul, either she's a Kohanis or she's a Levia or she's a Yisraelis, so what happens? So now she's a psula. She cannot. Now, if she's a bas Kohen, what does that mean she cannot? So number one, she can't marry a Kohen at this point going forward, even though she herself is a bas Kohen, but she becomes psul. And for the Kohanis, she also can't eat truma. In other words, from this point going forward, she now is disqualified, banned from eating truma. Now, for the Levi and for the Israelis, so pasur just simply means she can't marry a Kohen. From this point going forward, once she has relations with any one of the psule kahal, so she cannot marry a Kohen. Basically, from a halachic standpoint, she falls under the category of a zona. In other words, the Torah says regarding a Kohen is not allowed to marry a halala, a zona. So when a woman has relations with one of the psule kahal, she's rendered halachically, legally a zona, and therefore she can't marry a kohen. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now, in the Braisa, so the Braisa just is making this one singular point, but in the Braisa we're not going to have one opinion, which we just went through, but rather there are going to be three opinions. And then what's going to take a little bit of work today is to try to really wrap our head around what is the difference between opinions 1, 2, and 3? They're going to sound awfully similar to one another. Rabbi Yossi Amar Kol Zara Posel Posel. V'chol She'in Zara Posel, Eino Posel. So Rabbi Yossi says that if, when you have a child that child is possible to go into kahuna. In other words, effectively, you're psulikal. So then you yourself having relations with a woman will render her puzzle. Okay. Now, I know we're going to say it quickly and I know I'm going to move on, but if you think about Rabbi Yossi for a moment, effectively what he's saying is the same thing as the Tanakama. Mm-hmm. He's just using a child as a barometer of discovering whether or not you're psulikal, which when you think about it, it's the same thing the Tanakama said. Okay, so that requires thought. We're going to come back to that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, and then there is the third opinion in the Brisa, and that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Kol she'atanose bito, atanose amanaso. V'chol she'i atanose bito, i atanose amanaso. So if you, now you over here meaning the Kohen, meaning again, we're talking about rendering a woman pasul to kahuna. So the subject over here, the woman obviously is going to be pasul, but who we're litigating in terms of who she can marry is going to be a Kohen. So kol she'ata, the ata over here is the Kohen. So if you, the Kohen, is no sebito, if you can marry her daughter, atanose amanaso. So then you can marry the widow. And if you can't marry the daughter, then you can't marry the amana. And again, it's kind of the same point. In other words, kol she'i atanose bito, if you can't marry the daughter, i.e., she's psule kahal, so then you can't marry the amana, the widow. Okay, so that also needs clarification. Again, we're going to do all that right now. So, Ma'ika ben Tanakama ben Rav Yossi. So, what's the difference between one and two? Opinion number one, Tanakama. The opinion number two, Rav Yossi. So, I'm Rav Yochanan Mitzrishini Kabenai. So, the Gemara says, I'll give you an afkamina between the two of them, and that's going to be a Mitzri. So, I'm sorry, Mitzrishini, right? Second generation Mitzri. So, we know by the Mitzrim, so a very unusual psulikal, the Mitzrim are, and that is that once they convert, so again, full conversion, full Jew. But psulikal, they can't marry into the Jewish people. And that would be true for the first generation, right? If you've been listening to my shir, I just gave it a name. I called it G1, right? And then as the Mitzri Shani marries another Mitzri Shani, because who else are they going to marry? The truth of the matter is, there's a whole pool of people they're allowed to marry. But when the Mitzri Shani marries another Mitzri Shani, so then what happens? Their children now are G2. And they're also psulikal. You can't marry them as well. You meaning Kohen Levi Yisrael. And then we get to G3. So what happens by G3? So by G3, mutalavo bakal, no longer psule kahal. Okay? Just a fascinating idea that the psule kahal only goes to the first two generations. Third generation, they're fine. Okay? But that's the halacha. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So now, that would be the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. According to the Tanakama, So the bia of a Mitzri Sheni would be posel. Why? Because the Mitzri Sheni is psule kahal. Period. Good. And right. That's the Tanakama. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yossi says, what's the barometer of what's going to render somebody psul if their children are psul? So when it comes to the Mitzri Sheni, her children are not going to be psulim. So therefore, according to Rav Yossi, when the Mitzri Sheni has relations with a woman, she is not a psula. Perfect. Once you know all the halachas, the nafkamina rings true. Now, how did each of them arrive at that conclusion? Next point to the Gemara. Ushneim lo lamdua ela mikohen gadol ba'amana. So they learned it from kohen gadol ba'amana, meaning that serves as the prototype, and from there we're going to generate the halacha. Tanakama savar ki kohen gadol ba'amana, ma kohen gadol ba'amana shebiasa be'avera uposel ba. So when it comes to the kohen gadol ba'amana, so what's going to happen is that they'll have relations. It is a relations of avera, and it renders her a psula. So avkol shebiasa be'avera, so posel. So that now serves as the model going forward. Anytime the bia is be'avera, so it renders her pasul. So that means to say that by the Mitzri Sheni, so is it a Bia Savera? Answer is yes. Does she now become a psula? The answer is going to be yes. And Rabbi Yossi, Savar ki kohen gadol ba'amana, ma kohen gadol ba'amana shezara pasul, u posul, afko shezara pasul posul, afuki Mitzri Sheni, shein zara pasul, damakra, banim asher yivaldu lehem, dor shishi, yavol lehem b'kal Hashem. And as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, starting with the same prototype, we're looking at the kohen gadol amana. That's the prototype. Now, let's really analyze the characteristics. It is a bias avera. It renders her a apostle, and the children are going to be pasul. So in other words, I need all of that in order to arrive at the conclusion of psul. Only when I have all three of those factors does it render psul. So if I'm missing any one of those factors, so then it won't render her a psula. So it has to be that the abiyah is an avera. It has to be that she is rendered psul, and the child has to be rendered psul as well. When it comes to the mitzri sheni, I only have two out of the three. Mitzri sheni, it's a bias avera. True. It would, in theory, render her a psul. No, this part's complicated. In theory, but because the children are not going to be psulim, therefore it doesn't render her a psul. Okay. So, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Kosha Atanose Bito Atanose Amanaso V'Choshi Atanose Bito Yatanose Amanaso. Okay. So now what we did is we gave a fantastic daf gemina between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, and now Rav Yossi and Shimon Gamliel. What's the difference between those two? So Ma'ika bin Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Amar Lo Ger Amoni Moavika bin Ayu. So now the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to be Ger Amon Ger Moav. Now, Ger Amon Ger Moav. Someone from the nationality of either Moav or Amon come into the Jewish people, convert into the Jewish people. Conversion's good, 100% good. They're full-fledged Jews. However, Psulei Kahal, they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. However, we also know this is gender specific. The Psulei Kahal is only for the males, not the females. Moavi velo Moavis, Amoni velo Amonis. The Gemara in Yavamah spends a full daf on this particular point. But that is the halacha, right? We'll call it halacha l'moshe misinai, right? In the psukim itself, we don't really clearly see the distinction, which is why, if you recall, right, when Boaz marries Ruth and the proposition was made, right, what a great shidduch. So Ploni Amoni, and presumably he's echoing a sentiment that many people had at the time, which is, you can't marry her. Meaning, she's a convert, she's a good convert, but she's psulei kahal. She's Moavis, right? The Torah says, lo yavo Moavi. So Boaz had the halach l'moshe misinai, kach mikublani, right? He had a tradition, meaning part of the Torah Shabbat that was given to him. This was halach l'moshe misinai, is that the psul of Amoni, Amonis is, I'm sorry, the psul of Moavi and Amonis is only for men, not for women. Okay, so now, armed with that piece of information, so now the Gemara says that's going to be the difference between Rav Yossi and Shimon Gamliel, meaning that according to Rav Yossi, what would render a woman a psul when she has a bia that's a sura and her zera becomes pasul? If that's in fact true, so then that bia would render her a psul. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no. If I can marry the daughter, I can marry her. Meaning, by Ger Amoni Ger Moav is all of her children going to be psulim? That's not true. Only the men are going to be psulim, the women are not going to be psulim. Ah. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, because by Ger Amoni Moav, since only 50% of the children are going to be psulei kahal, so as a result of that, a ger moav with a woman would not render her a psul. And once again, how do they arrive at this conclusion? We all know the answer. So the ushnem lamdua alami kohen gadol ba'amana. Again, kohen gadol ba'amana serves as a prototype, and then we just work from there. So Rabbi Yossi suffered ki kohen gadol ba'amana ma kohen gadol ba'amana shazara posel posel af kol shazara posel posel. So Rabbi Yossi will tell you, look, what is the parameter of a bias psul that renders her a zona? It has to be where the bia is an avera and the child is going to be a psul. Then and only then is she going to be qualified as a zona. And Shimma Gamliel, so ki kohen gadol ba'amana, ma kohen gadol ba'amana she kol zara psul, af she kol zara psul. Ve'afil nekevas nafu ki ger amoni moavi. Then nekevas nafu k'sher lava b'kal, da'am ramar, amoni v'lo amonis, moavi v'lo moavis. And what Rav Shimon Gamliel will tell you is that no. In other words, it has to match the prototype. The prototype of Kohen Gadol to Amana. So who of their children are going to be pasul? All of their children are going to be pasul. But when it comes to Amoni and Moav, it's not true. Not all the children are going to be pasul. Only 50% of the children are going to be pasul. Only the males, not the females. It doesn't match the prototype. Therefore, this is not going to be a bia that renders her a psula. Okay. What have we just covered in the first part of today's daf? So a very basic halacha. And that is that if a woman has a bias psul with a man who is psul ekal, she now is a zona. She cannot marry a kohen. Period. That's really what we just learned together. And including the psul ekal is going to be all the people that we learned in the first mission of the Perek, and all of them, well, just leave it at that. And so if she has a bia just one time, by the way, in other words, just one act of bia, and oh, by the way, in other words, the Braisa says that the bia doesn't even have to be by a bar mitzvah. In other words, it can even be done by somebody younger, anyone above the age of 9, where physically now the bia qualifies as a bia. So now when she has that relation, she now is legally branded as a zona, and she can't marry a kohen. Furthermore, if she's herself a bas kohen, so she can't marry a kohen, and on top of that also, she now is going to be banned, barred from eating truma.
Are the children of kohen who marries an almana kalalin?
An almana? Kohen's allowed to marry an almana.
Kohen gadol,
they're right, their children are kalalim. Absolutely. Yes. Okay, now, Rav Chisda says the following, that all the Tanaim that we just went through, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and we just spent the first 20 minutes of today's shiur going over the subtle differences between those three opinions, but Hakol Modim, everyone would agree that when it comes to Aman Asisa, she was married to a Chalal, but not a Chalal, but a Safik Chalal. Tough sugya coming up over here. Safik halal. How do we get to a safik halal? So many Rishonim have many different opinions. But for the purposes of just giving a succinct and streamlined shir, I'm just going to call him, her husband, right, her late husband, a safik halal. So the Gemara describes it as amanas isa. Isa, why dough? Because dough is a mixture. Dough has got flour, water, oil, sugar. Back in the day, didn't have sugar. But anyway, so Isa just simply means it's a mixture, it's a tarovis. So her late husband was a halal, but not definitively a halal, safik halal. So shepsula l'kuhun, so she cannot marry a kohen. So man meka bahani tanai, Reb Shimon Gamliel. So of the three tanaim that we just went through, so whose shita was the most makel? So that would be the shita of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Remember, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ger Amoni, Ger Moavi has relations with a woman, she doesn't become a psula. Why? Because they don't make all their children psulim. Okay, fine. So Shimon Gamliel, the Kamar Kosha Tanose Bito Tanose Amanaso, the Choshiya Tanose Bito Tanose Amanaso. So Lamute Amanasisa Shipsul Kuhuna. Ah, because what was Shimon Gamliel's position? If I can marry the daughter, I can marry the widow. If I can't marry the daughter, I can't marry the widow. Right? The daughter becomes the barometer of whether or not that bia would be a bia's psul. So and it comes out now that according to Shimon Gamliel, who takes the most makel position, according to Rav Chisda, Amanas Isa is psula l'kahuna, even though she's married to a halal, but not even a halal, a safi halal. Nevertheless, that bia rendered her a psula, and she can't marry kohanim. So lafuke medahani tanai. So the Gemara points out this is not a consensus viewpoint. A woman who is an Amanas Isa. Such a strange term. The woman who's a widow of dough. Okay. Does not translate well into English, I have to admit. So, but Amanas Isa, whether or not she can marry a Kohen, so that is subject to a machlokus. So, did not aid Rabbi Shua ver Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra Amanas Isa shikshir l'kahuna. So, a Mishnah in Adios. The Mishnah in Adios says that the Tanayim say that Amanas Isa are allowed to marry a Kohen. My time, So have sveik sveika l'kula, because it's sveika. Okay, now the sveika over here is also really difficult to articulate and difficult to explain. In other words, a woman who's married to a safik halal, so is she allowed to marry a kohen? Well, her husband's a halal. Maybe, not definitively. Again, I never really articulated why that is, but just for our purposes right now, just let's call him a safik halal. So now she married him. Now, is she going to be a psula? So the Gemara says, according to the Mishnah Adios, yes. Why? Because we don't even know if her husband was actually halal. And now the question's on her. The question is she now going to be rendered psula? Well, in other words, the suffix started with him. Now the issa transfers over to her. Sveik sveika. Okay, for those of you who have familiarize yourself with Sveik Sveika. This is not a classic Sveik Sveika. This is not the classic, we can ask two separate questions in terms of whether or not it's Mutter or Aser. Okay? The Gemara in Tzuvos, right there in the beginning, the Daf Tes. So there the Gemara has a classic Sveik Sveika. See the Gemara there. Anyway, admittedly, this is not a classic Sveik Sveika regardless. The Mishnah Nedios is of the position that the suffix started with him, then transferred over to her. Now she's an Amana. Can she marry a Kohen? So, double suffix. And so, according to Mishnah Nedios, yes, she can. Okay. Adkan. Okay, that was a short sugya, and I admit, that was tough. We continue. So, Vadam bevadam mutar. So, what did our Mishnah tell us? That according to Rabbi Elazar, Avada can marry Avadai. But what Avada can't do is Avada can't marry a suffix, and a suffix can't marry a suffix. So, put that in practical terms. What does that mean? So according to Rabbi Lazar of our Mishnah, so it means that if I have a mamzer, mamzer can't marry Shasuki. A mamzer can't marry an Asufi, right? Shasuki Asufi, remember? Shasuki can't identify father. Asufi can't identify neither of his parents. Rachmanis, an abandoned child. So so in our Mishnah, so what we're used to hearing is that they can marry one another, right? Because what's the Shasuki? Possibly a mamzer. What's the Asufi? Possibly a mamzer. So the Shizuki and the Asufi are allowed to marry a mamzer. Okay. That's what we're used to hearing. However, there is the sheet of Rebbe Lazar, which we were introduced to in the Mishnah, and Rebbe Lazar says that a Shizuki can't marry a mamzer. An Asufi can't marry a mamzer. Why? Because a mamzer is definitively a psul. And the Shizuki and the Asufi only possibly a psul. The shidduch pool for the Shizuki and the Asufi is going to be, according to Rabbi Lazar, significantly limited. So Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha Ker Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav that's the halacha. So the only a psul vaday can marry a psul vaday, but a suffik cannot marry a vaday. So Kiyam Risa Kamidu Shmuel Amarli. So Hillel Shonem Asar Yuchzen Alam Mibava V'Kula Matern Lavo Zebezeva Hatamar Halacha Ker Rabbi Lazar. So the shock of Shmuel. How could you say that? Meaning, we have a Braisa. I'm not really sure why he's calling the Braisa. We have our Mishnah as well. But we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Asar Yuchzen, Alumi Bava, V'kula Matur Lavo Zebezeh. Now, the language of V'kula Matur Lavo Zebezeh, let's not take that super literally because we know it's not true. Meaning, of all 10 classes, they can all marry one amongst one another. No, they can't. I mean, that's what we established in the beginning of the Perek. But the point is, a simple point of Shmuel is that as we learned in the first Mishnah, you can have a mamzer marrying a Shizuki, you can have a mamzer marrying an Asufi. Meaning, that is the opening Mishnah. That seems to be the consensus viewpoint. Rebbe Lazar will take a das yachid. He's a shitas yachid. But that's it. In other words, and you're going to tell me the halacha falls like Rebbe Lazar? The atamar talachika Rebbe Lazar? Okay. So we have it now that, according to Rav, the halacha is like Rebbe Lazar. And according to Shmuel, the halacha is not like Rav Elazar. Verami, the Rav, the Shmuel, did mar. Okay, and the Gemara now notes that Rav and Shmuel seem to be taking the exact opposite opinion, at least from the following. Arusa, she ibra. So let's say you have Arusa and she's pregnant. Okay, at this point in time, it's Eder Nashim, so we know. Two stages of marriage, Erisin and Suin. Erisin, so back in the good old days, so she was an Arusa for 1 year. Her Arus is her husband. But they only went through the first stage of marriage. He's still living with his parents. She's still living with her parents. They are not allowed to have relations with one another, not until Nisuin. Only day, Al Yedei Nisuin, then and only then are they allowed to live with one another. Good. We know all that already. That's basic. It's ABCs. Now the Gemara tells us what happens if the Arusa, she's showing, she's expecting. Okay. Somebody impregnated her. Okay. Who impregnated her? Well, we don't know. And Arusa Shebra, Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, Shmuel Amar Vlad Shizuki. So the positions of Rav and Shmuel, Rav says that the child is a Mamzer. Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, and Mutter Ben Mamzeres, Shmuel Amar Vlad Shizuki, Yasser Ben Mamzeres. So Rav says the child is a Mamzer. Now when Rav says the child is a Mamzer, it doesn't mean that we know for sure. We don't know who the father is. However, she's a married woman. And there's a chance, according to Rav, that somebody other than her Arus impregnated her. Again, we don't know. So according to Rav, What that child is allowed to do is that child is allowed to marry a mamzer. And Shmuel says, nah, the child is a shasuki. Again, we don't know who the father is, but there's a chance that the father was not the arus. And so therefore, in fact, if that's the case, so now the child is possibly a mamzer. a shesuki. And therefore, Asur ben Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres. So you see what just happened over here. Rav just taught us that a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, right? Otherwise known as what we thought to be the consensus viewpoint, meaning not Rabbi Eliezer. And Shmuel's of the position that no, the child is a Shesuki. Therefore, not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, meaning Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So, what just happened over here is the is that we now just flipped the positions of Rav and Shmuel. Originally presented, it was Rav Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer and Shmuel saying no. And over here now, we just learned opposite. So Epoch, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to flip. Rav Amar Avlad Shesuki, Shmuel Amar Avlad Mamzer. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll just flip around the Shitas of Rav and Shmuel on the Braisa, and now we have synchronized viewpoints. Okay, and now it works. So now we have Rav Paskin like Rav Eliezer and Shmuel, not passing like Rav Eliezer. So Tartalamili, so the Gemara says, okay, great. So now, I understand you synchronized everybody, but you also created redundancy, meaning we know their positions already. So Tzricha, the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you, it's necessary. Eat my Baham. If I just had it on the Mishnah, Bahakama Rav Mishum de Rav Kshir Mitzla. So on the Mishnah, we would say that, look, the most people are kosher. However, Aval Hasam, in the case of the pregnant Arusa, so, pregnant Arusa, if she was impregnated by any other man other than Arus, what's the halacha? The child is a mamzer. So again, we don't know who the father is, but if we were to look at the totality of the pool of men, most men, we could say it even stronger, almost every man would render that child to be a mamzer. Rope, psulim, etzlam. So, hey, mamod yil Shmuel. So I might have thought that in that particular circumstance, he would agree with Shmuel. Meaning, we're gonna go much more to the side of chances are really good that the child is a mamzer. I might have thought that. And then if all I had was the case of the pregnant Arusa, so I would have thought that there Rav says, child is okay. Why? Because over there, look, I understand that she could have been impregnated by anybody, but she did have Erusin with a man. I'd even so go so far to say she might even like him. Right, who knows? So now, if the question is, who impregnated her? So Rav will tell you that in that particular case, where she has an Arus, so in that particular case, I would have said that the Arus impregnated her. But if I don't have an Arus, so then maybe Rav would agree with Shmuel. Maybe there he'd be more inclined to say that the child is a mamzer.
He's the most likely suspect.
Yeah, right, correct. So tzricha. So that's why I need both cases. Ibai zema lolam lo tepoch. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe what we don't have to do is we don't have to flip around the shitas. Meaning, obviously, we have a particular masara. Let's keep the masara as we have it. Umay mamzer tekama rav, lav mutar ba mamzeres ela, asur bebas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, now what Rav meant when he said that the child is a mamzer, it's not that Rav was saying mamzer and therefore cannot marry a mamzeres. Meaning, possible mamzer can't marry a kshera. Can't marry somebody who's a Bas Yisrael. Ushmuel damar avlad shesuki, the asur bebas Yisrael. And when Shmuel says that the child is a shesuki, what Shmuel says is that she's a asur bebas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, yach, yayna derav. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, that is a great interpretation. And it allowed us to keep the positions as originally presented. Fantastic. Problem? Problem is simple. Now, Rav and Shmuel are basically saying the same thing. So Ella, my Shesuki, Shemashtika no Sami Din Kahuna. So the Gemara says, well, Shesuki means that we ban him from being a Kohen. So Pshita Hashem Midin Yisrael Meshatkin La Midin Kahuna Mibaye. To which the Gemara says, isn't that point obvious? You know, you can't marry Bas Yisrael. And also any claim you want to Kahuna, no. The Gemara says, come on, that's obvious. Ella, my Shesuki, Shemashtika no Sami Minichse Aviv. So the Gemara says Shesuki means that you are not going to have a claim to the inheritance, the Yerusha. You don't know who your father is. You can't come into a family. You can't go to a man and say, hey, I'm your kid. Okay. DNA testing, by the way, would definitely, in other words, if they had it at the time of the Gemara, it would, I'm not saying the halacha would change, but they would definitely put that in the discussion. So pshita miyadina navu amanu. So the Gemara says, well, that's obvious. Meaning, if he didn't know who his father is, so his claim now that he is a son and entitled to Yerusha, motzi mechaver al avaraya. You're trying to extract some money from somebody else. You can't do that unless you have definitive proof. So lo tzricha de tafa. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about where there was a tzrisa that was done. In other words, he grabbed some of the money. So I might have entertained the idea that post tfisa, so you don't take the money away from him. Kamash Malan, you do take the money away from him. Alternatively, here's what Shmuel could mean. Shmuel could mean that you know what Shesuki means? Shesuki is equivalent to Baduki. We'll do an examination, an investigation. What's the investigation? Ask mom. And if mom identifies who the father is, we believe her. So, you're telling me what? That mom has credibility? We know that Shmuel's of the position that mom has credibility. We've gone over this before. We've covered it just a couple days ago. So, and Rabbi Yoshua Omer in a Nemenes, Ram Rabbi Yudam Hashmo Alachik Rabbi Gamlio. I know I read that quickly. That was the Mishin Ksuvos. Do we believe her? Do we not believe her? Machlokas Tanaim Rabbi Gamlio says we do believe her. And Shmuel says Alachas like Rabbi Gamlio. So, if all Shmuel's telling me is that by saying the word Shesuki, what he really means is just ask mom, and whatever she says, she's given credibility. So, but we knew that already. Tzricha, Ime Asam Hava Amin Ahasam, Rav Chir Mitzlah, so the Gemara says it's not a redundancy. Over here, it's a chiddush. Again, we go back to the idea that we're talking about the pregnant arus. So we're asking the pregnant arus, who's dad? So I might have thought that in this particular case, even though Shmuel normally holds like Rabbi Gamliel, but in this particular case, maybe not. Because again, let's look at the pool of suspects. Who impregnated her? We don't know. And the vast majority of men who impregnated her would render the child to be a mamzer. So over here, maybe that would detract from her credibility. That's the Hava Mina. And the Maskan is no. Once you subscribe to Rabbi Gamliel, she has full credibility, even in this case as well. Tanya v'chein Rebbe Lazar Amar Kusi lo yisakusis adkan. Takes us now to the end of that section of the Gemara. And that is what's it called? We covered two difficult sugyas today. We covered the sugya of Bias Psul, what renders a woman a psula, and then we just covered Ne'emanus of a woman, and what happens with the pregnant Arus, right, where we're trying to identify who the father is. Okay, moving along. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, V'chein Rebbe Lazar Makusi lo yisakusis, akusi kemeri akusis. Okay. We all know the history. We're all familiar. We've done this numerous times. Right, the Kusim are a group of Jewish people who were all converts. They came in as converts. Now, what are their roots? What are their origins? They go way back. Going back to the first base of Mikdash, Sancheriv took out the 10 northern tribes. Sancheriv came in from the north, took out the 10 northern tribes, and scattered them and dispersed them to the point where we don't know where they are anymore. Hence, the 10 lost tribes. And he replaced them with a group of idolaters from the land of Kusa. Kusa's in Bavel. And so now these Kusim who came into Eretz Yisrael, so all this, by the way, is in Navi. It's in Malachim, Malachim Beis. So now these Kusim who came in and occupied the 10 northern tribes, so what do? They're idolaters. So idolaters, idolater. So they still did their Avodah Zarah even while living up in the north. They were attacked, lions attacked them, and they came to the realization that if we're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, so apparently we have to be Jewish. They converted. And then for the next numerous centuries, Chachmei Yisrael debated and deliberated. Was the conversion a good conversion, Gerei Emes, or was it a forced conversion, Gerei Arayos? Arayos from the word Ari, lion. In other words, they were attacked by lions in the north. Okay, so this is a classic debate. And throughout the Gemara always discusses and deliberates the status of the Kusi. Good convert, not a good conversion. Okay, and eventually, the Gemara is going to find in the beginning of Chulin, eventually the conclusion amongst the Tkufa of the Amoraim, which if you think about it, is centuries later, is that the Gerus was not a good Gerus. And they're not full-fledged Jews. So whenever we have a kusi discussion, so the first thing you have to ring up in your head is this machlokus of whether or not they're geri emes or geri arayos. Okay, I'm setting the table right now. We'll come back to that. So v'chein Rebbe Lazar mar kusi lo yisa kusi. So according to Rebbe Lazar, this is a tosefta. So Rebbe Lazar is, let's say, a lot more exclusive of who can marry whom. We know that according to Rebbe Lazar, a suffolk can marry a vadai, a suffolk can marry a suffolk, and v'chein. And let's add more to it. According to Rabbi Lazar, kusi can't marry a kusis. Okay. Now that needs an explanation. Demands an explanation. So my time, I'm Rabbi Yosef Asuka Gelach Asaradaros. So it's like a ger after 10 generations, the time you will learn Ad Asaradaros Mutabra Mamzeres. So for the first 10 generations, a ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. And then, Mikan Ve'elech Asubra Mamzeres. Yesh Omrim Ashish Takeh Hashem Avros Kochavim Mimenu. So there comes a point generationally where a ger is no longer allowed to marry a mamzeres. Now, even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, remember we covered this a couple days ago, a ger is in fact allowed to marry a mamzeres, right? That's the halacha psuka of the Gemara. However, after numerous generations, a question here in the Braisa, how many generations are we talking about? 10 generations? Or just people have now totally forgotten that they're kusim, that they're gerim. Right over here, we're just having the discussion is by gerim in general, okay? And the second opinion of the Braisa basically tells us that once people have forgotten, so now from this point going forward, because they are so Jewish, right? In other words, they were Jewish the moment they converted. But in other words, at this point in time, people don't even remember that they're gerim. So now you see them marrying, you see the family marrying into mamzerim, and everyone's going to wonder what is happening over here. I don't understand. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry a mamzeres. What's happening over here? How is he marrying a mamzeres? Right? He's Jewish. Okay. So Amrei Abaye Midame Hasam Ger Yashan Mamzeres Chadasha Amrei Bar Yisrael Hu Dekanasi Mamzeres Hachi Dividi Kadadi Ninu. So Abaye says, what kind of explanation did you give me? You didn't help me at all. Meaning the halacha we just learned about 10th generation ger, I just explained it, right? In other words, nobody knows that he's a ger. In other words, 10 generations ago, they converted. No one knows he's a ger. And a person's watching a Jew marry a mamzeres, right? Everyone's going to be like, what is happening? Over here, I have a kusis. They're operating on the same level. Why can't they marry one another? So, Eloki has a Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Savalak Rabbi Shmuel, of Rabbi Shmuel, Savalak Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so in order to understand the Shita Rav Elazar that Akusi can't marry Akusis, so we have to take two Shitas Tanayim and we got to put them together. The Shita Rabbi Shmuel and the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, great. That's so far so good. You know what we have to do? We have to fill in the blanks now. What's Rabbi Akiva? What's Rabbi Shmuel? Well, let's start with Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar said, like Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Kusim Geirai Rayos. So Rabbi Shmuel's of the position that Kusim are Geirai Rayos. Like I set the table earlier, machlokas tanayim. So therefore, we're going to start now with Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. There are geri arayos. It is not a valid conversion. They're ovdei kochavim, and because they're ovdei kochavim, then what happened? They were ovdei kochavim who married Jewish women, and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, damar ovdei kochavim ever abbas Yisrael havlan mamzer. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take that Shita Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to couple it together now with the Shita Rabbi Akiva. What happens when a non-Jew marries a Jewish woman? The child is going to be a mamzeres. All the children, the boys will be mamzerim, and the girls are going to be a mamzeres. Good. That Shita is Rabbi Akiva. So now if I take the Shita Rabbi Shmuel and I couple it together with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, so now the children are now going to be mamzerim. So Umi Savala Rabbi Shmuel ka Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Does Rabbi Shmuel hold like Rabbi Akiva? I don't believe he does. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel minan lavi kocham ve'ev shabal kohen zvel levi avah bas Yisrael shepasluwa. So how do I know that if a non-Jew were to have relations with Kohenis, Levi Yisrael, they apostle her? They render her a zona. She can't marry Cohen. She never vas Cohen. Kisiya amanu grusha v'zera ein la. Mi sheyesh lo amanus v'gerushin. Yatzo v'kochavim ve'eved she'in lo amanus v'gerushin. So if a woman is a widow, but the previous relations she had were with men that could have kiddushin, so and could do gerushin, so then she's an amana that's allowed to marry a kohen. However, if she's an amana that had relations with somebody who could not perform kiddushin, i.e. a non-Jew, so she's the kind of amana that can't marry a kohen. So in other words, a bias guy will render a psula. So the Gemara says, well, if Rabbi Shmuel held like Rabbi Akiva, meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, what happens when the non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman? The children are mamzerim. So now, if the children are mamzerim, which is Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, if the children are mamzerim, do we even then need a drasha to tell me that this widow who had relations with a non-Jew can't marry a kohen? She is just becomes the mother of a mamzer. Obviously, she's puzzled to marry a kohen. So it has to be that there's no way that Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to Rabbi Akiva. So Ella Rabbi Laza Savalaka Rabbi Shmuel Damar Kusim Gera Arayos and Savalaka Rabbi Akiva Damar Ovdi Kocham Ve'ever Abba Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. I'll give you that. But we're not right now litigating whether or not Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. What we're trying to do now is say pshat in Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar, the Tosefta, says that a kusi can't marry a kusis. We're just trying to wrap our head around that. How do you arrive at that conclusion? He, Rebbe Elazar, holds like Rabbi Akiva. He, Rebbe Elazar, holds like Rabbi Yishmael. So, umisavala Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, is that really a position that's tenable? V'ama, Rebbe Elazar, afa pisha nechluku beishamay beisol betzaros. Look, Machlok is Beisel and Beishamai regarding the co-wives. This is the beginning of Yevamos. This Mishnah, I think, is Yudalid. Okay, you can check. You can fact check me. I may be wrong. So Modim Shein Mamzer Ela Mimishi Yisuri Yisur Vavenosh Kares. Meanwhile, Mamzer is only going to be produced from Yisura Yisur Erva and Enosh Kares. So this is Rebbe Elazar talking, which means that he does not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, what produced mamzerim? Basically, any illicit union is going to produce mamzerim. Over here, Rabbi Elazar is telling us that the only thing that produces mamzerim is Isuri Kares. So, Ela Ki Asa Ravin. So, what we're going to do now is that we're going to give now a third possibility of how to understand Shitas Rabbi Elazar. And here's where we're going to pause, because this takes us well into tomorrow's daf. So, we're going to go over now. Right, not now, but tomorrow morning, afternoon, it's Friday already.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll go over another and last possibility to understand Rebbe Elazar. So at this point in time, we don't yet have Shad and Rebbe Elazar. Okay, three big topics that we covered this morning. Number one. Number one, Bias Psul. Any one of the Psulikal has relations with a woman who is a Bas Yisrael, Bas Levia, Bas Levi, Bas Kohen. So it will render her a psula. She can no longer marry a kohen. And if she's a bas kohen, it will also disqualify her from eating truma. Okay. Even though that's the first thing that we learned, I'll just couple that with the last thing that we learned today. If a woman has relations with a guy, same conclusion. Meaning it doesn't matter bas kohen, bas levi, bas yisrael. If she has relations with a guy just one time, so that will possel her. She can't marry a kohen. Okay. The bias psul which passes her. So that's the first thing that we went over this morning. Why did it take us so much time to go over it? Because the truth of the matter is, it's not one shita, three shitas. The shitas of Tanakam and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And what we did this morning is that we noted the subtle differences between the three shitas. Okay, that was one. Two, we went through the sugya of Amanas Isa. Amanas Isa, she is a widow. She was married to not a halal, but a safik halal. As a widow now, can she marry a kohen? So the Mishnah said yes. Rav Chista disagreed, meaning Rav Chista believes that the Tanayim of the Braisa, Rav Chista can't disagree, he's an Amora. But Rav Chista thinks that the Tanayim of the Braisa argue on that Mishnah. Okay, that was number two. Number three, Vade Bavade Safik Basafik. So the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, that a Safik can't marry a Vade, Shisuki can't marry a Mamzer. It's a difficult shita because it really limits the eligibility pool of who they can marry. But it, as difficult as it is, makes sense. Meaning a mamzer is a psul vadai. a shesuke may be a psul, may not be a psul. Okay, so the so according to Rav Elazar, avada can marry a suffik. And then the question is the halacha like Rav Elazar, Rav Shmuel, and a question of what is shitas Rav and what is shitas Shmuel? And do we have to, in other words, because their machlokus was presented two times over, their machlokusim were flipped. Do we flip it back? Do we keep it as it is? And that took us all the way to Ayin Hey Amud Beis. And that, no, sorry, that took us to the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. And then on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, we were introduced to a shita of Rav Elazar, a kusi can't marry a kusis. And what we did on the on Ayin Hey Amud Beis, attempted to understand, why should that be? How did we get to that position? And right now, we're in the middle of the discussion. We don't yet have Pshat and Rav Elazar.